So we are talking about, we have a series we're just in the second week of called Relate. Relate, everybody say relate. Relate. So we're talking about relating to God, to each other, and to, by that we live full the full lives that God's called us to live. So this message, I was just sitting there going, man, this is not the, honestly, this is one of those messages that pastors teach, because we want to make sure that we're keeping the main thing the main thing, right? So we're not talking about casting out devils this morning. We're not talking about all the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about glory to God, your victory in Jesus. We're talking about things that are crucial to our walk. And sometimes these foundational things, they get overlooked, quite honestly, and we kind of lose sight of them. So so just to keep us the main thing, the way we relate to each other is high on the list of how God would have us to live our lives. Many of the things that are commands that how we treat one another. And so, and how we relate to God is one thing, how we relate to others is really birthed out of how we relate to God. So Mark chapter 12, verse 29. So scripture many of us are familiar with. Jesus answered, "The most important is this." How about the most important commandment? "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these." That's pretty amazing. Like, of all the, like, I know we kind of know this, but in practically how we live and what we talk about and all the things that we talk about, really, we don't really put the emphasis on this like we should. We put the emphasis on a lot of other things that we should and shouldn't do, right? But really, this is kind of it. This is really it. Love God. Matter of fact, he says, if you do these things, you'll fulfill all the law. All the law. So how we relate, how do we make connections and establish relationships between each other? So we talked about last week that our lives are built on relationships. We talked about the interactions between one another is part of how we relate to each other. How we relate to other is not even just something that we as humans came up with. This is God's design, that how we relate to each other. It shapes us how we the higher side is how we relate to God. It helps shape how we relate to others. We talked about that last week. And then we made these comments. We said, we talked about the works of the flesh. Remember that? We talked about the works of the flesh and the works of, and the get and the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about, like, which ones do we emphasize the most? We're usually, the church is famous for saying, hey, don't do these. Whatever you do, don't do these, right? We talked about the works of the flesh. We talked about the big don'ts, like stop lusting and stop doing sorcery. It's the works of the flesh. Interesting. But with all the things we shouldn't do, but we don't really focus on the fruit of the Spirit, how we treat each other, which is actually, I would argue, to live that way, to focus on the things we should be doing rather than the anger of the things we shouldn't be doing. Right, so we focus so much on those negative that we forget to do. Actually, Paul says it like this. He says, make love your aim. Make it your goal. The way I treat other people in love, make it that's my goal. And I made this crazy comment that shook some people up. And I said, you know, you never see Jesus walking around with his disciples. You're going, hey guys, I just want to let you know. Jesus talking like we're standing around the campfire and go all day. All day, Jesus is like, hey, I just want to let you know, I walked in victory today because I didn't lust. Right. Jesus wasn't really concerned. He was more concerned with, this is what I did to help people, encourage people, to build people up. Right. That's how he lived. Right. He didn't live with the mindset of the don't do. He lives with the mindset of how I bless, how I lift up, how I encourage people. Right? So that should be our goal. So, and when we do these things, it's amazing how quickly we'll have good relationships. I said last week, it's amazing that when two people are in relationship with each other, no matter what kind of relationship. You never see a relationship of any kind break up because they were way too kind. They were way too good. They're way too loving. They preferred other people better than themselves. You know, those relationships stay strong, right? But in order to have these relationships, today, let's dive into the heart of the issue when it comes to relationship. And that is the heart of the issue is the heart of the issue. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, "My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Do not lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." Then Proverbs 4, moving down to the next verse says this, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." New Living Translation says it like this, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." It determines the course of your life. See, this idea of our hearts, and before I get into the heart, so there's some wonderful theologians in the room. And so when we start talking about the heart, we start talking about, okay, now where exactly is the heart? Is it my spirit? Is it my thinking? Is it in my soul? Is it my, what is like the heart? And so to not break it all down this morning, I want to give just a simple definition of where your heart is. Basically, your heart is your inside world, your inside life, and your inside thoughts and your inside feelings, your emotions, your inside world. Julius, my wife, said it like this. It's all the things that go on behind your eyes, right? It's all the things that, it's our inside world. And the writer of Proverbs says, listen, if you need to, above all else, guard your heart. Above everything, guard your heart. It's interesting that he says you're supposed to love God with all your heart. So everything, this scripture says, everything proceeds out of your heart. Every part of your life will proceed, will come out of your heart. So if you have a good heart, good things come out of your, and we'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to get too far ahead of them. So see, everything, our heart is very important to our lives, especially when we talk about relationship, how we relate to each other. These relationships, your condition, let me say it like this, the condition of your heart will determine the quality of your relationships. Look what Jesus said about our hearts. In Matthew, this is how we get it somewhat, we can get it mixed up. How about that? The people, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines human commands. So in this context, let me just break this down a little bit. In this context, let me walk in. I want to look at your eyeball this morning. So when we look at this context, the context of him, of Jesus saying this, is there was, so the law of honor your parents, that was the law we're specifically dealing with in this context of this scripture. He's talking about honoring your parents. But there was this other, so there was the law of Moses, and then there was this other like laws above the laws that kind of said there were kind of oral tradition laws back in the day, back in the Jewish culture. And a lot of those were to help you to navigate how do these things work out, and they would make these other laws, and there were laws that kind of were above, but they still had the Moses law. Am I making sense? I'll give you this example. So this example was there was a law, verbal law, not the Moses law, that said this, that said, if you took your possessions, everything that you had, and you gave it to the temple, right? You gave it all to the temple, then you could still live in that home. Let's say it's a home. You could still live in that home, but it belonged to the temple. And when you died, all of that possession would be taken and be given to the temple. That's great, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, our financial advisor over here.
Yeah. So you could take it and you gave it to the temple. Sounds like an honorable thing, right? You're violating a law of Moses by doing that. Because the scripture says you're supposed to honor your parents. You know who that, you'll never hear a preacher say this. You know who that money belonged to when you died? Your parents. So you're violating the law of Moses by doing this other weird thing that looked like it was good. So when you're talking about the problem is you're harming humans in the process. You're harming the humans in the process. Like the law when Jesus would say, he says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? What a ridiculous question. What a ridiculous question. Like you think about it. Like, Jesus, like, I'm here today and you're here today and your arm's all jacked up. And I really want to heal it, but it's the Sabbath. Can't do it. Like that's the mindset of religious law. I mean, I'm sure we don't do religious law anymore. That was just, that's just back then. We don't violate, I don't want to get there. But anyway, but it has to do, the idea is human. Like God is interested in people. And sometimes, honestly, it's not my message, but sometimes what we do in the desire to fulfill law, we violate the law of love one another. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, right? So the people in their practices, they violated the law of honoring and it's seemingly religious activity. So Jesus, he goes on, he says, let me get to here. So Jesus talked about many things. I want to just kind of go through a brief overview of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is, I affectionately call it the TED Talk of Jesus. Like Jesus' message, right? When Jesus said, I'm come preaching the kingdom, much of what he taught was the Sermon on the Mount. And so this is some of the things that he dealt with in the Sermon on the Mount, which you find in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. He talks about things like this, and most of these things are heart issues. These are things that they're in the heart. So Jesus talks about these things in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, murder begins with your heart in the form of anger. So he said, if you have anger in your heart, right, you're already committed a murder. Well, that's kind of harsh, Jesus. Well, then he says, adultery, if you've lusted after someone, you've committed adultery in your heart. Jesus says that this idea of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They did this, they deserve this, right? Just that these are matters of your heart. He actually says you're supposed to do good to those who, we don't talk about this scripture anymore. Do good to those who harm you. Do good to those who use you. Give to those. Somebody slaps you on the face. Jesus said, this is not me, this is Jesus. Turn the other cheek, right? What if they don't have another cheek? That's good. That's another question. But like this is another level of living. And if I'm honest, like I don't see this in our culture. I don't see this as important in Christian community. We don't. We're called to love one another. We're called to love our enemies. That, I guess there's some higher thought that, should we even have enemies? Well, Jesus said, yeah, you're going to have enemies. In this world, you're going to have enemies. There are going to be things and people that represent things that you're not for, and you're angry and you're mad, and there are all these other things, and they're your enemies. There can be enemies of the faith, even. And Jesus says, our attitude is love. Do good to those. That's a whole nother level. You want to talk about like a whole nother level of your walk with God? See, we don't, What we should do is we just take that page out of the Bible and just throw it out. Now, these are found, you understand that what I'm teaching this morning is not new thought. This is foundational things that Christians have believed in from ages, since the time of Christ. You know that in the New Testament, the early church in the New Testament, this is how like the early, this is a way that the early church thought, to give you an idea of how they perceive things. So there's a thing, and I think I mentioned it before, called exposure in the New Testament, in those days in 100 AD and those kind of that kind of area. And exposure was that you weren't allowed to kill your child. But if you didn't want that child, this is a law. Welcome to the Roman Empire. It's amazing. You could take that child and take them to the outside of the city and leave them. And leave the child there. And just let them die because you didn't kill it. They just died of exposure. And that was legal. That was legal. Do your history. It was legal to do those things. Right? I mean, we have that something similar like that in our country. But you know what the New Testament believers would do? Now remember, the New Testament believers, especially in the area of Jerusalem and those areas, were poor. Like they were poor, poor. They had like nothing. They grouped together in communes so they could support one another. That's how early Christians lived. And you know what they would do? They would send people out to the edge of the city and go up and gather these babies. And then they would take them home to their homes and took care of those babies as they walked around and picked up babies along the outside of the city and took care of them. In their poverty, took care of. This is the mindset of early Christianity. This is the love one another of the early Christianity. This giving of yourself, whatever cost, it doesn't matter. I give until it hurts. I sacrifice until it hurts. So this idea of loving each other and loving people. These are heart issues. To love your enemy means I have to see beyond them being an enemy and see them as God sees them. And God sees them as a person created in his image that are away from him. That's the only way God sees people. Those who are in Christ and those who are outside Christ. And so he sees people differently. And this idea of loving each other. He says your relationship with God, your relationship with God is also a heart issue. He says when you give, Jesus says when you give, don't announce it with trumpets. That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? Can you see like the offering plate going around? Somebody go, bah, bah, bah.
I just want to let you know that I gave half of my income this morning, and you know what's.
Can you imagine that? That'd be so weird. But this idea that this stuff that you do for in the name of God is between you and him. It's not between you and everybody else. These are heart issues. What you do is what God sees. And according to God, according to Jesus, that's good enough. Nobody has to see. Nobody has to see the good works. He says, when you pray, you know, don't get up there and use your amazing and impress. You do it to impress other people. Then that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to pray in public. What that means is don't use all these words to impress everybody with your amazing enunciation, right? And amazing words. And you're majoring in theology. Don't you love it when people pray and they're just trying to impress you with their theology? I just pray to God. He actually says, and then because of that, like, just go to your room. Go to your closet. Shut the door. And pray to your God who's in secret. And you know what God will do when you pray in your secret place? He'll reward you in your secret place. He'll reward you. So So this idea, he says, and all these things, like if you think about it, if you do some logic, and you think about why would somebody trumpet their giving? Or why would somebody get up and do their amazing prayers to be seen by other people? It's a heart issue. I'm doing it for myself, for my own exaltation, my own glorification, right? On my own, look at me. But it's the idea that says, no. It's a heart issue. It's you to God. One of my favorite stories I told this at our Bible study the other night. It's Christine Kane. Christine Kane, if some of y'all know, she's an amazing preacher of the word. She's outstanding. And fiery. Woo! She's fiery. We'll get charged up. Just go listen to a Christine Kane message. Just fiery. Has an amazing testimony of God's goodness. And so the story is she was actually mentored by Joyce Meyer. And so she's on her stage for the first time ever preaching in front of a large auditorium. It's one of my favorite stories. I love it. He says that when Christine Kane does her message and everybody's clapping, they're like, oh, it's great, clapping and all that stuff. She walks off stage and Joyce Meyer meets her. And she went, there's your reward right there. Your reward's because of all the clapping that people. She said, now go do something that nobody will see. Now go do something no one will see. You have your reward, right? I had this other lady that was a amazing lady. She was back in the early 90s, she was like 85 years old. One of my heroes of the faith. This lady was amazing. Godly lady. She says, when she would speak, people would give her all kind of accolades and, oh, thank you so much. You just blessed my life. Thank you. You helped transform my thinking. And thank you so much. I've been totally set free because of your message and your all these. And she said, I just appreciate it. And she said, her name was Fuchsia Pickett. Fuchsia Pickett would every night would go home and she called it her evening sacrifice. And she would lay down. She goes, you know, amazing 85-year-old. She goes, I kiss my honey on the cheek. And she said, I roll over. And she said, all those things, I would give them all back to God. I would remember all those things. I said, God, I give those all back to you because it's for you, God. She would offer those things as her evening sacrifice. Like, who talks like that anymore? Who talks like that? That's so godly. Like, it's so godly and God-honoring, and it's not about me. God, it's all about you. And everything I've been given, God, is because of you. He says the same thing for fasting. When you fast, it's between you and God. He said, when you give up, he said all these things, he said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. It's all about God. It's all about your heart posture with God. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 16. 15 verse 16. Do you still lack understanding? He asked. Do you realize whatever goes in the mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated? Gross. But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this is what defiles a person. It's out of the heart. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, slander. These are all things that defile a person, but eating unwashed, he was talking about unwashed hands, does not defile a person. He says, what happens is things out of their heart produces all of these other things. Like all of the things that he lists, your evil, they come from evil thoughts. They're in your heart, right? Murders. When you kill somebody, that began with an evil heart. Amen? Well, we're all in agreement, right? Adulteries, it didn't start with the act, right? It started with an evil heart, a heart issue. Whatever happened in that relationship, the husband and wife relationship, it started from an issue of the heart. Sexual immoralities, like all of them. And what is that? Let me just define that real quick. Is anything outside the husband and wife sexual relationship? Anything outside of that, it starts with heart issues. These are heart issues. Thefts, It's the greed, the false testimony, slander. We don't do slander anymore, do we? No, we have a whole social media platform that's built on false testimonies and slander. It's amazing. All these things come from our hearts. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so wicked. We'll get there. It's okay. Hopefully you're going, oh my gosh. So what do we need? What do we need? What we need is this word, sanctification. That is a glorified, that's an amazing, amazing word. So when you became born again, when you asked Jesus, when you submitted your life to Christ, when you gave your life to Christ and say, God, not my ways, but your ways, not my will, but your will. God, forgive me of my sins so that I can move forward in the life that you've called me to live. God, I submit it to you. But God, you became born again. New person. The problem is, you still got some work to do. Wouldn't it be great if you were completely like the person, the Christian? Wouldn't it be great? Like in an instant, you were like, woo, ready to go, and all of your actions lined up with everything that you believed. Wouldn't that be amazing? That didn't happen for any of us. That's why I say all the time, like, if you're perfect and you come to this church, go away. You're messing us all up because we're all fallible people. We all have work. You ever think about this? It's interesting that God calls us to love one another. You know, that's a command. Why would he command it if we didn't need to have the opportunity to love one another? You know, we're all going, this whole like, I gotta be careful, but this whole church hurt thing, we understand, and I know there's some definite violations, huge violations that should be dealt with and judged. Right. Amen?
Amen?
But then there's these other small things. Well, you know what? They didn't talk to me today. You know what? They said some harsh things to me today. You know what? There's a church down the street. I'm just going to go to that church. We're called to love one another. You know that person that said something to you and kind of hurt your feelings? Do you understand that they're fallible? And the reason why we're supposed to grow together is we're all fallible. Give me a moment and I'll disappoint you. I promise you. Give me a moment. I will not call you. I will not thank you. I will not do this. I will not do that. I will fail you in some way. And you're still called to love me. And I'm still called to love you. And we're still called to love each other. In our mess, we're called to love one another. So we all have room to grow. We all have places to grow. Some of us are different places in our walk with God than other people. Right? Amen? And that's okay. There's immature people and there's mature people in our church. And let me say, that's okay.
Right.
And actually good and healthy.
Right.
It's good.
Right.
We're all growing. So how do we grow? So glad you asked that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence. Watch this. Watch the way this works. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. The psalmist says it like this: God created me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. So there's this balance, right? He says, work in the very next sentence. He says, work out your own salvation. For it is a God who works within you. So which one is it? Is it me working out my own salvation, or is it God that's at work within me to do that? Is it God? Is it my job to have God create a new heart in me? Yeah. Will God work it out in you? Yeah. This is a partnership with you and God. How you submit your life to him and his ways. God, search my heart. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any way in me. Actually, accurate translation of that is, if there's any way of pain within me. And he's talking about our hearts. If there's any way of pain within me, search my heart, try me, test me. So I can take that and I say, I can work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And because I do that, God's at work in me, causing me to both will and to do it for his good pleasure. And it only happens in one way, church, and it's never changed. And it's this. I bow my knee. God, you are King and you are Lord. My definitions of right and wrong mean nothing. Your definitions of what's right, what's true, what's holy. What your way of what you want me to walk in communion with my spouse, with my boss, with my friends. God, I give those things to you. God, will you work? There's ways in me that cause pain and cause outward places that I don't want to do. God, and they're not just actions. God, they're places in me that are broken, that need your healing. And God, I need you to heal those areas in my heart, in my life, so that I can be and do. And you know what God does? If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will lift you up in due time. And when you do that, God's amazing power by the Holy Spirit comes in and starts massaging your heart, healing those places, and fixing those things so that you can have vibrant relationship first with him and then with other people. Because God is massaging and hurt and healing your wounded heart. That's the way it works. Because we are working ourselves, our own salvation with fear and trembling. Then God's at work in our lives, working us to fix and causing us to do good. Hopefully, as we have grown in Christ, you know what? I'm a lot better husband than I was when we first got married. My wife and I, when we first got married. Actually, I look back and when I was first married, I'm kind of ashamed at how I treated my wife. And actually, Julie and I have talked about it, she would feel the same way. We've talked about this. Like we were a hot mess married together 27 years ago. We're actually doing it pretty good now. You know why? Bowed our knee. You know, the biggest reason my wife learned is that forgiveness was not an option. And we're still married, honestly. I mean, I had to do my work. Amen. But we're married because my wife forgave me completely. Amen. So you take these two passages together. It underscores the complementary nature of divine grace and human effort. They're put together. And what happens is God does the work. And God, when you think about the wounds of the past, I gave some examples. The wounds of the past is I'll never trust anybody ever again. Wow. Wow, really? True. So that's the way you're going to live your life. Fearful of everybody. That everybody is going to hurt you. Now, let me tell you, there will be people out there that hurt you. 100%. Not everybody. I'm going to let that sit. I'll never be close to anybody ever again. That's exactly the way God designed us, isn't it? Mm-mm, that's sarcasm. I cannot be vulnerable to anybody. Or how about this one? I am not teachable. What I believe, that's what I know. How about this one? Well, all guys are dot, 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 dot. All women are dot, 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 dot. All church people are dot, 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 dot. Listen, these are Things that happen to people and heart wounds that happen to people, and they live their lives based on their inward heart wounds and hurts and things they've done. Let me just say, and they were done, and they were evilly done to you. Ungodliness done to you, 100%. Don't want to discount it. Don't want to put like any kind of shade over it. 100% evil, wrong done to you. But we allow God to heal our hearts and make us. Now, should you use wisdom? Do you learn from your mistakes? 100%. But these are heart issues. I'm not talking about wisdom of, you know, like some relationships, though you forgave them, doesn't mean that you go back into relationships with them. Amen? Some relationships you should part from. But it's your heart issue that we're after. We're heart issues that we're talking about. Like you can't, it's like what the old saying, unforgiveness is the poison you drink hoping the other person will die. That's what we do, right? Like we have harbor unforgiveness and the other person is out doing their thing. They didn't even think twice about you anymore. Or about, well, jealousy. Hey, man, they can have more than me. You can have this much, but you can't have more than me. Jealousy. I can't be kind to them because they think this way. I can't be kind to them because they think this way. How about this one? I have no patience for... I have no patience for people that... You have no patience. You have no fruit of the Spirit in you. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if my wife... I got plenty. I've been a pastor for a long time. If my wife would just... then I would show them respect. If my husband would just do this, then I would show him the respect he needs. See, this is where it gets nasty. This is when it gets like real. Like the dealings of their heart are really ugly. And I'm kind of convinced that's why pastors don't go there. Because they're really nasty. Because I can think of everything that, you know, and some of the things that maybe y'all are even thinking, yeah, I'm thinking them too. I'm not talking about the mate. I'm talking about like, this is life stuff. And you can't live your life with wounds from the past and the wounds and the hurts from other things that have happened to you. You can't live your life in these heart-wrenching things. Something happened to you and now, whatever. And again, let me just be careful because I don't want to, and I'm going to take my time because I don't want to think that I'm glossing over some major trauma that happened in your life. You probably need some counseling, some good, godly Christian counseling. I'm all for it. Right. You know what counseling hopefully will do is help reveal those places of hurts and wounds so that you can move on and go forward with your life. Amen. Right. But do you understand? Like it was so profound. When the guy in Proverbs says, out of your heart flows the issues of life. Mm-hmm. They control the direction of your life. Yeah. And Jesus came to set your heart free. Come on. That you would not be held back by the wounds and the stuff that people did in your past. Yeah. And people, listen, this is a huge deal because people are saying no to Jesus all over this country. And it's because somebody did something in the church. And it hurt them, and they say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity anymore. I'm gonna throw away God and all of it. Right. Guys, like there is a part that we play to walk in love. I mean, this is part of it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's messy. Church is messy. Relationships are messy and they're not easy. And it's taken my wife 27 years to get some kind of rightness going on. But man, it is so rich. Like we were made for relationships. Man, I got so much more to say. I got so much. Anyway, let's all stand together. Eric, if you'd come.
I told you this wasn't going to be the big rah-rah message, but let me tell you, this will set you free. These things will set you free. Like, do you know, like, I'm just going to say it. Reluctantly, as Paul would say these things. Like, there's been some wild things said about me and what I, you know, things that I, like, I actually, in this morning's class, it says that they rejoice in, like, the love rejoices in the truth, right? I was like, man, people have said things that they're not even true. They're like, they're not even true, right? And I go, you know what? I forgive. Like, I really do. Like, I forgive. It doesn't, like, whatever. Like, I guess it's just, but you know what? You know how freeing that is? Every little thing that's said to you doesn't have to trigger you. Every little thing that's said about you. Like, do you understand? You know where it really starts? God loves me.
Yes.
God loves me. He's for me. And God knows before God, I'm good. Am I always right? No, not right. Some of that criticism people said about me was true, and I needed to repent. Are we okay with that? Are we all individually okay with that? When you're called out about something, you need to change your heart about it. Amen? But what's great is when you have the love of God, that God loves me, man, it fixes a lot of that stuff. Because if God be for me, I don't care if somebody didn't say hello to me. Are you kidding me? You know what? Because I haven't said hello to some people. We're all fallible. We all need to love one another just where we're at. Your spouse needs you to love them right where they're at and all of their mess. I know they leave their underwear on the floor all the time. It drives you nuts. But love them. I know they don't put the dishes in the dishwasher like you should. Oh, that must be just my home. That's me. I got to go and change all the dishes because there's a right way to load the dishwasher and a wrong way to load the dishwasher. Amen? Can I get an amen? You know what we got to do? He said, keep preaching. You know what? You know what you got to do? Love them anyway. Man, that dish is wrong. I love them. Start. Whew, that hurts. It's what we do. It's what we do. Amen. Close your eyes with me. I'm telling you, this is a bigger freedom message than you would think. Because you live like this, you can walk around in freedom. You can love the unlovely. You can love those who disagree with you. You can show kindness to people. Because they're a human. So God, would you help us? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with everything. So God, I bow my knee and ask you, God, will you change my heart? God, is there places within me that are broken? Are there places in my heart, God, I know we're long today, but like your lust problem is a heart problem. And the good thing is God is professional at working on hearts. So you've been going about it by your own will and strength. I'm going to defeat this thing. And God says, will you just allow me to work on your heart? Will you give me some time in his presence to work on your heart? I'm filled with jealousy. I wish my life was like them, or I wish it was like this. you allow God to work on your heart first? God, we bow our knees to you today. God, would you help us to walk in the love? God, would you remind us how much you love us so that we can extend that love towards others? God, this era and this world that we live in, where there's so much division, there's so much anger, so much hatred, there's definitely enemies to the faith. God, would you help us properly process those things? God, would you help us to walk in love, God, with the people that are around us? We love you, God. We love you, God. Put your hand on your heart right where you're at. Where? I'm not even going to lead you in it, but just in your own words, just pray that God created me a clean heart. I will say this. Just say this. Say, God, I will do my part. And I thank you, God, that you are at work within me, changing me to have your heart. I thank you, God, that you empower me to love, to be an example of your kingdom in my home, in my job, and in my community, and with those who I disagree with. I thank you, God. You help me. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. 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 There's much more to say. We'll talk about that next week. And man, if you come back next week, you're a strong human. So we love you guys. And that's what we're called to do. Love. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an amazing, amazing week.